Okay. I have no idea what happened to As the Deer, but that's okay. It's been a long time since we've done a video-based sermon series, worship service, so I guess 3 out of 4, it's pretty good odds at this point. So we are here, and today we are going to start to finish up this sermon series that we've been doing. And this is just basic math, right? We started out with 4 characters, and we started out with 4 stories from Jesus. So we've done 3 characters, and we have done 3 of the stories that were there for Jesus. So guess what? That leaves 1 to 1. And so today's sermon series begins with this character, and she is known as Sue Storm, also the Invisible Woman. And as you talk, you think about her, you're thinking, well, you almost dismiss her. But that wouldn't be very unusual, because in her pre-hero life, she was constantly overlooked and undervalued. Invisibility sounds like a really nice parlor trick, maybe a good way to get out of trouble, but really, how useful can it actually be? But I don't want you to do that, because you need to understand that Sue Storm, she is absolutely the total package. She can make herself completely invisible. However, she can also produce invisible force fields, and these invisible force fields can actually be extended out to not only protect herself, but be extended out to protect anybody that's in the vicinity around her. And you know what? Since she can produce these force fields airtight, they can be used as an underwater bubble so that she can actually protect her team underwater. And these invisible force fields, not only can they protect, she can turn them into little orbs and launch them outwards as projectiles, so they're a weapon. And you know what? She can even turn those orbs inside out and blast them out across as a sonic wave to take out a large group of enemies at the same time. In some renditions of her story, these force fields that she can produce, she can even walk on them so that she can cross ravines and even float above the air. So I want you to get the idea that I don't want you to dismiss her, because this woman, she is absolutely, positively a very powerful individual. And when she decides to attack, you will absolutely, positively never see her coming. And while she is powerful, she is also the glue that holds this team together. You notice her last name is Storm, Sue Storm. She is the sister of the Human Torch, Johnny Storm. She is also the girlfriend slash fiance slash wife of Mr. Fantastic. And she is the longtime friend of Ben Grimm. So while Mr. Fantastic is labeled the leader, this woman, she's the glue that holds the team together. But we're not really going to pick as much time on her, because what we're really talking about is these 4 fantastic foundations of faith. They are found right there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 24. And as I said, we have looked at the first 3. So let me give you the recap, especially for the kids, because you missed all the fun. You went downstairs just when we decided to bring superheroes upstairs. So let me catch you up on what we've already done. We've already taken a look at the thing. Living faith begins with a rock-solid foundation, and we came to the conclusion that rock-solid foundation begins with the Word of God and with this person named Jesus. And then we moved on from the thing, and we talked about the Human Torch, and we talked about living faith is about developing a faith passion for Jesus, and this passion is a passion that inspires us to produce for God's kingdom. And then last week, we took a look at living faith and developing a focused and stretchy faith. One that can focus in on the things that God would have us to focus for and reach out to those around us so that we can actually reach our world. And so that, again, leaves one story. And it's a story I bet you're really, really, really familiar with. You see, it's a story that is found in verses 13 and 14. Actually, right at the beginning of Jesus' conclusion. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the idea of, guess what? Living faith must be transparent, but not invisible. So this is what I want you to see. We've had something in this box every single week. This is our object lesson. And here is my object lesson for the week. Ta-da! You're thinking, man, that's very anticlimactic. I mean, after all, we've had sand, and we've had rocks, we've had fire, we've had rubber bands, we've had, and this is just a plastic shield. Now, here's what I want you to see, though. This idea of invisible but not transparent, I want to ask you, and I'll hold it up for our audience online and for those sitting near the back. Can you see this? I hope so. So therefore, it is not invisible. Okay? But if I take it here and I pick up my little character and I put him there, can you still see him? Therefore, this is also transparent. And see, that's the difference between the words, because the word transparent and how our faith should work is allowing light, oh, there's a good word, allowing light to pass through so that objects behind it can be distinctly seen. The idea of transparent also means that it is easily perceived or detected. You can absolutely look what it really is. It also means having thoughts, feelings, and motives that are easily perceived. Rich talked about the washing of the feet, and what was Jesus' motive in doing so? To give them an example. He was transparent in what he was doing. He didn't have any hidden agendas. You know, transparency also means it's open to public scrutiny. This is more in the accounting world. If you're keeping transparent books, then what does that mean? It means that the books are open and anybody can come and look at it and see what's going on in the books. So transparency is what we're looking for. Unfortunately, a lot of times when it comes to our faith, you know what we actually do? We take this alternate word. We take this word, invisible. Now, here's what invisible means. It means unable to be seen, not visible to the eye. It means concealed from sight, hidden. And here's the other thing invisible means. It means treated as if unable to be seen, ignored, or not taken into consideration. And when you look at these two definitions, I hope you can see why this is an important message for us to hear, because I think a lot of times in the church, we are shooting for invisible faith, and God says, I want transparent faith. So this morning's lesson is all about us figuring out what is the difference between these things. How is it that I go about having this invisible, not invisible faith, but transparent faith? And so I want to go back to that story that Jesus told, because he's talking about two gates that lead to two totally different paths. So he's got these two gates that he puts up in front of them. This is another one of those object lessons. It's a Jesus object lesson. And the first thing I need you to see is the gates have things that are in common. Both gates are open. Neither one of them are locked. Neither one of them have a keep out sign. None of them say that you can't come in here. Both of the gates are absolutely open. Both of the gates are accessible. That means you may enter through them. And you know what else? Both of the gates are visible. Both of the gates you can absolutely, positively see. Now, in these gates, there is a difference between the gates. One of the gates is small, and one of the gates is wide. And so by small, now I want you to pay close attention to this. By small, that means it will be harder to find than wide. Notice I didn't say it was hard to find, but just think about it. If you're going down the road and you've got a great big exit that has great big signs and great big lights, and then you've got another exit that's kind of itty-bitty little maintenance road, which one is easier to find? Well, it's the big ones, because the small one is kind of harder to find. You might actually run past that small one without even noticing it. See, wide means that it is easy to find, though. See, that wide gate, it makes it to the point where you can see it, and you can see it from a long ways away, and it is very easy for you to find that wide gate. Now, because of that, that means that guess what happens? Few versus many. Jesus tells us that that little wide gate, I mean that little narrow gate, that little small gate, that there's going to be few that are able to go through that gate. And then he says, but this great big gate, there are going to be many that choose that gate. So I guess the thing that I need to ask you today, which one are you? Are you amongst the few or the many? Because I do want you to see there are only two gates. So you got to pick a path. Right, there is no option C. There's not one that's kind of down the middle. You've got to pick a gate. You've got to pick a path. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you amongst the few or the many? Now, once you get through the gate, the paths or the roads that are behind these gates, there are definitely some differences there also. See, it's narrow versus broad. So narrow, think about it. If you're on a narrow road, you're going to have to be disciplined to stay on it. One of the things my mom used to love to do when we were kids, she was from Lovingston, Nelson County area, and on Sunday afternoons or sometimes on Saturdays, she'd take us for drives, and we'd go up on these little country roads that seriously, when you were up on these little country roads, you could do this looking out the window, and there was nothing on the other side. And, you know, you had to be disciplined to stay on the road because one wrong turn, and what happens? Boom. I mean, that's just how it works. And so if you're going to be on that narrow path, you get the idea, you're going to have a little bit of discipline. And you know what? You may even have to have help to follow it. If you've ever been up on the parkway at night, they had these things. They had these big white light, these bright lines. And along the lines, they had these little reflectors so that when you travel on the parkway at night, your headlights hit off of it and you can see those reflectors. It's because they want to make sure you understand this road is narrow. It isn't this great big super highway. And so you're going to have a little help to stay on this road. Now, the broad path, on the other hand, this is an easier path. If you choose this path for your life, then there's a lot of latitude in how you travel it. I mean, it's got white dotted lines, and you can switch from lane to lane. And you know what? There are no speed limit signs. You can put the pedal to the metal, and you can run as fast as you want, and they're going to let you do it. And you know, sometimes there might be some collisions, but that's okay. We can fix the car, and we just keep traveling down the road because that's the way this works. And truth be known, it's kind of an anything goes mentality. I'm okay, you're okay. As long as you're okay, doesn't damage my okay, then we can all be okay together. That's kind of the philosophy that we take on this wide path. But there's another difference that I need you to see. And this is the difference that makes all the difference in the world. You see, these two paths, they're going in opposite directions. They're not running parallel. It's not like Route 11 and Interstate 81 where they're running the same way. And if you stay on 11, then you're just going to have to go down this narrow road. And you might have to go through a few towns. And there might be a few more stop signs. But eventually, if you stay on it, you'll get to the same place that you're going if you want to stay on 81 because they're both going north and south. These are opposite direction roads because it says one is leading to life and one is leading to destruction. Jesus had a lot to say about this idea of life. John chapter 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus tells us, I got my clicker working. Okay. Jesus tells us in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate. Oh, so now he is identifying him as the gate. For the sheep, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it in the full. See, that's this idea of living faith. Now, to appreciate how this connects to our invisible woman, to our transparent but not invisible faith, I got to tell you some things about faith that maybe you know, but you just aren't paying attention to, or maybe you just don't know them at all. See, the point of living faith is not to get you to heaven. Does that shock you that a minister says that? The point of living faith is not to get you to heaven. It's to enable you to point others to the small gate. It is to allow you to help others to stay on that narrow path. Because remember what living faith is? It's the faith that I'm able to live out into the world where people can see through me. Not one where I've hidden my faith from them. If you simply see your faith as a selfish means to an end, that you're going to get a magical ticket to a magical kingdom. I have no other way to say it. You don't get it. Maybe you should sign online and buy a ticket to Disney World, because that's closer to what you're looking for. Because this living faith idea isn't to get you to a magical kingdom. But for those that really want to figure out what it means to have living faith, and we've talked about this topic all year long, well, let me tell you about the difference between transparent and invisible, and what a difference it makes. Remember, I told you that these little stories were kind of summaries. They were kind of the concluding statements of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so I want to go back a little bit up into Jesus' sermon, all the way back up to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I want you to take a look at what Jesus really means to have transparent faith. And this is what it says. I bet you know these, right? You, not God, not the pastor, not the elders, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teacher, not the worship leader, although they're all part of you. So anybody today that's in the sound of my voice, whether you're sitting in the building or you're downstairs or you're online, no matter where you are, this verse is for you, because you are part of you. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God in heaven. So here's what I need you to get out of this. Let's talk about what we don't want first, and that's called invisible faith. It's faith you can't see. So we have our human torch, and he's standing behind our invisible force field, and you can all see him. But suppose I take, we'll call this my church, right? After all, it's got my announcements, and it's got my fill in the blanks, and it's got my order of worship, and it's even got my prayer life in it. So we'll just call this our religious faith. All right, who can see him? Now, just so you know, he's still burning bright as ever. What's the problem? I've made him invisible because I allowed something else to get between what you can see and what he is. Ah, big difference here. You see, it is faith that is hidden. I didn't make him go away. I didn't move him. This is not a magic trick where I made him disappear before your very eyes. All I did is I put a barrier between you and him so that now he is hidden from your vision. It's faith that's ignored. You know, if I leave him here like this long enough, and even if I just left him sitting here, eventually you're going to forget all about him. Something else will come along in your life, and the next object lesson will happen, next week's sermon will happen, and eventually I'll just forget about this little burning light that's behind this little transparent shield, because I've covered him up with something. See, transparent is what Jesus wants us to have. And well, transparent allows the light to pass through. Do you know why you can see him? Because there's light all around us. If it was nighttime and I cut all the lights off and it was dark in here, then guess what? You still couldn't see him, because what this transparent little thing, that, by the way, this is a picture frame in case you're wondering what it really is. This little transparent shield allows the light that's around us to pass through it and shine where you can see what's behind it. Now, I do hope you get the picture here, right? Because let's just say this is Jesus and this is my faith. Then you get the notion here that the idea is I'm supposed to allow Jesus' light to pass through my life so that others can see it, because my faith is supposed to be totally transparent. See, this little thing here, this little idea of transparent, it's easy to see even though you can't see through it. Now, you can see him. Excuse me, it's easy to see even though you can see through it. You can see him, but you can still see this too, right? This is how it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to be able to see Jesus, but they're supposed to be able to see Jesus through me. That's the way Jesus designed it. That's why he said, you are the light of the world. It's you. It has to be have pure motives and the best interests of the others at heart. How many times, and Rich mentioned this during our communion time, by the way, he didn't peek at my notes. This is just kind of how things work sometimes. How many times do I make church or my faith all about me? How many times is it my magic ticket to heaven? Is it that thing that I'm going to do? It's that retirement plan that I've set aside for myself. And so I make it all about me. Now, I might be doing all the right things, just like the church at Ephesus, but you know what the problem is? I'm doing them for all the wrong reasons. I'm doing them to, like we talked about last week, impress God. I'm not doing them so people can see Jesus. That's transparent faith. Transparent faith is when Jesus can be seen through my life. And you know what? It will withstand the scrutiny of being looked at closely. Think about this for a second. How many people do you keep at an arm's length because you're afraid if they get too close to your faith, they're going to see all the things that you have wrong with you? You know, that's the benefit of transparent faith. Because transparent faith says that, you know what? I can see everything. The good and the bad. Do I have problems? Yes, I do. Do I have sin I struggle with? Yes, I do. Do I have good moments in my life where I'm doing great things for Jesus? Sometimes. But you do understand when I allow people to see through my faith and see to me so that they can see Jesus and how he sees how Jesus deals with my warts. So guess what? Their warts are okay too. Jesus can deal with those. It means that they get to see how Jesus is dealing with my struggles. So guess what? Maybe he can help you with your struggles too. They can see the good moments in my life when maybe even if I shouldn't be having good moments, but I can praise Jesus. So maybe he can do something for their life. See, the moment we turn our faith into this is the moment that all four of these foundations begin to come together, because they can see God's word. They can see our passion. They can see our focus. But if I have all these other pieces and I don't make my faith at this transparent piece of shield around my life, it can be a shield. But you understand, it has to be transparent where people can see through it. The moment I muddy the waters and dim it or tint it or make it more comfortable for me, then you understand what I've actually done, right? I've cut off the light. I've made the light invisible to the world. And have you ever walked into something that is completely dark before? It's scary. And people get upset about it. You see, transparent faith will act like a magnifying glass to that small gate. When people can see my faith, then you know what? It puts me in front of it and becomes much bigger, because they can say, oh, look, I see the way because, wait a minute, that guy just went down that path too. And look, he went down there with all that baggage that he has in his life. I can grab mine and look, I can follow him right down that path. Transparent faith, it serves as a spotlight to that little narrow road. It allows the path to be marked out so that people can see exactly where they're supposed to go. Not fumbling around. What does it say? That it's supposed to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm supposed to be able to walk down this because my faith should be so transparent that Jesus just shines right through it. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine, make them wonder what you've got. Notice we've been singing a lot about shining the scene this morning. It's because I need you to see. Your faith, it can't be invisible. There are no such things as secret agent Christians. It absolutely positively needs to be transparent. So now the only question I have to ask you is, can you see the difference? Can you see the difference between an invisible faith and a transparent faith? Because an invisible faith, let me tell you what's going to happen with that. A lot of people are going to be looking for the right direction, and they're going to end up on the wrong path. And they're going to do so because we failed to show them Jesus. We put so many things up in front of them, and we put so many things that are going on, and we put so many barriers in their way that they no longer can see Jesus in our lives. And you know what? I don't care if you've got all the other pieces together. If you're missing this one, faith doesn't work.